really powerful and goes along with what we're going to be speaking about this morning. So if you have your notes, you can take those out and you can follow along with me in just a couple of moments. But before I get to the message, I just want to mention something that had kind of scrolled by in the announcements, and we haven't really promoted it yet. But we are looking to begin a formal security team here at the church. Why I say a formal one? We've had one in place for the past couple of years, and what that simply means is that we've had three to five guys who carry a gun with them every Sunday. I hate to talk about this, but we did want to wait until the kids were out. More and more churches are putting these into place, and we knew that we needed something. But if you were at Dickens, you saw that they had cement barriers up for the first time, and that's the world we live in. And if you saw this scrolling by earlier, as the announcement, the last thing said, pray we never need this ministry, and it is going to be a ministry. And again, it's not something that I ever thought I would ever have to talk about, you know, 38 years ago when I got into ministry. Never thought this would be something, 36 years ago, whenever I got into ministry, that would be something we'd have to talk about having a security team at a church. I belong to a group online that's called Sheepdog Church Security, and it does all the legal things, talks about how to carry and who can, what you can do in a case of a situation. So I'm going to have all the men who are involved in this ministry, and ladies too, if you're interested in that, to at least follow this group. We have a friend of my son's named Terry Keegan. He lives up in the Horseheads area. His whole job is ministering to churches. He's a security guy, and he does this, does training for our churches. We've asked Mark Taylor, who's not here this morning. I just talked to Mark the other night. Mark is going to head up our security team, and he will be the one who will kind of do all the training for us. Mark was a ranger in the Army, and he's trained on weapons, and he's very good with this. But he said, well, let's get your friend Terry to come and do some training for all of us. What we're looking to do is anyone who has a license to carry, please see myself or see Mark, and we would ask you to feel free to carry on a Sunday. When all the shooting in Texas happened, I have a license to carry, and the board asked me if I carry, and I said, I've never carried on a Sunday. And they said they wanted me to do that. So I've begun carrying, and that's not, again, something I never thought I'd have to say, but the way they looked at it, they said I would be the first one to see someone coming in. We do have people positioned throughout the church. People will be able to look out the windows. All the doors will be locked. So if anyone was to do something, they would probably have to come in here or come over here. The reason we're making this formal now is we want to do some training with our men and women. Again, please, if you're a woman and you have a license to carry, feel free to let us know. But at our deacons meeting the other night, Russ mentioned the need for some kind of a drill. They have drills. I waited for the kids to leave, but our teenagers are all aware of this. The schools have drill for fire drill, and they also have lockdown drill. I substituted the other day and had it all spelled out what I was to do in a lockdown. The kids are prepared for an active shooter to come on their school. We need to be prepared as well. So we're going to do a drill, a real quick drill, sometime in January once we get it all planned out. But as I talked to Mark the other night, told him we're going to make this announcement, he didn't, by the way, you can pray for Mark. He's with a VA group that went up to Bath today. And he said it's not a Christian-led group, but he was looking for an opportunity to share Christ with some of the men and women up there. He's not avoiding today because we're making this announcement. But we said, what can we do in the meantime? And if there was ever an active shooter before we do the drill, and again, please, we're not looking to ever have this team ever have to function. But if someone were to come in, I said to Mark, I said, I would think that I would be composed. I would hope if someone came in with a gun that I would be able to say, security team or whatever, or hope I wouldn't say, oh, gun! And I don't want to plan on doing that, but I don't know what I would do if someone came in. But if something did happen, we would just ask people to get down as close to the floor, either on the floor or at least lay down in the pews, remove yourselves from a line of fire, and then our security team will be prepared. We don't want people running to the door and being in the line of fire of an active shooter or our security team. And again, I don't want to spend any more time on that, but just that's the world we live in. And we want you to know we want to keep us safe. We're trusting the Lord. But we said, I was talking to some people after the Dickens, we said, with the barriers, they don't want someone driving down a car anymore. But can you imagine if someone had pulled a gun and started shooting at Dickens? How many hundreds of guns would have been aimed at them from our area? The way to stop something like that is to fire back. And that's what happened in the church in Texas. The man opened fire, and when people pulled his gun, he dropped and ran. So we want to keep our people safe. All right? Is there any questions about anything? I know that was just something that was kind of thrown at you this morning. But it has been in place, but we want to make it a formal group where we will be training. All right, take out your notes. We're going to be looking at a wonderful message this morning. We began our series last week looking at the significance of a moment as we looked at the moment that God chose to send his son to be born. Let's just ask the Lord to bless the remainder of our time. Father, thank you, Lord, that you love us. We thank you that you gave your son to die for us. And we're thankful, Lord, for the world and the nation we live in, the freedom we have. But yet, Lord, we realize in our world today, as we just got done discussing, we need to take some steps. And we just pray that you would keep us safe. We pray, Lord, that our people would never fear coming to church. But, Lord, we realize we're vulnerable anywhere. Anywhere we go, so we go into the grocery store, to the bank, or even into school buildings, Lord, where people are, that can be a target. And we just pray, as we put the security team in place, you'd be glorified in it. Again, help us be trained, but never, ever have to use it. And Lord, we just commit this time to you, ask you to be glorified as we look at the wonderful message of Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. My first year of coaching at the Christian school, I coached soccer. And my very first year there, I met the team after they had already done some practicing. And our first game was at a school, and we did okay. I don't think we won. Our second game was against the Deaf School of Rochester, New York. And I was told that this team was really, really good. I didn't expect them to be what they were when we showed up. I was coaching, again, the Christian school had 7th to 12th grade guys and girls. The Deaf School of Rochester were all guys in their 20s and some in their 30s. They were big, they were strong, they were fast. They were very good soccer players. They just had the handicap of not being able to hear. And I can tell you, they kicked a lot harder than, their worst guy kicked harder than my best guy on the soccer team. And they were beating us pretty good. But we were told before the game started, as we met with them, that if the whistle blows, Our team was to raise their hand and then just either kneel down on the ground or sit down on the ground. And it was interesting watching them try to communicate. They would, I don't know why they clapped hands. They were clapping to each other and raising their hand and, you know, pointing, you know, kick it to this open space. And they worked it really well. They were beating us so bad I was tempted just to tell my guys, just sit down, make them stop, and get up and kick the ball. Not really. I didn't want to do that, but, you know, it was going through my mind. They beat us pretty bad. But it was interesting at halftime to watch the coach communicating with these. I was able to talk to him. He was not hearing impaired, but he communicated with sign language, and he did some stuff on a board and was writing to them. I don't know what he had to tell them to work on, because they were just doing everything really, really well. But it was interesting that they could not hear. They could not understand the message from the referees. And as I thought about that and preparing for this wonderful message, let me just say that. My wife said to me this morning, she goes, I kind of thought when I read the newsletter, you said, come out Sunday, it's going to be a wonderful message. How, you know, she kind of thought I was bragging. That's not what it's a wonderful message is the title. But as we look at this wonderful message, it's very similar to what happened 2,000 years ago when Christ came. The world was there. The world was functioning. The world was kind of doing its own thing. But yet they were never able to understand the message that Christ gave. I want us to understand as we come to this season that we cannot be trapped by the festivities of the year and overlook this message from Christ. We began last week looking at just a section, and we're going to do this every Sunday through the message, is It's a Wonderful Life, my favorite Christmas movie. Last week we looked at the moment, and we said that George in the cemetery missed his brother. If you remember that, he saw his brother Harry had been killed. The angel said, Harry didn't save the men on the transport because you weren't there to save Harry. He missed a moment. This morning, we're just going to watch the very beginning of the movie and take a look at how Clarence missed the message.
I owe everything to George Bailey. Help him, dear Father. Joseph, Jesus, and Mary, help my friend, Mr. Bailey.
Help my son, George, tonight.
He never thinks about himself, God. That's why he's in trouble.
George is a good guy. Give him a break, God.
I love him, dear Lord. Watch over him tonight.
Please, God. Something's the matter with Daddy. Please bring Daddy back.
Watch over him tonight.
Hello, Joseph. Trouble?
Looks like we'll have to send someone down. A lot of people asking for help for a man named George Bailey.
George Bailey? Yes, tonight's his crucial night. You're right. We'll have to send someone down immediately. Whose turn is it?
That's why I came to see you, sir. It's that clockmaker's turn again.
Oh, Clarence hasn't got his wings yet, has he?
We've passed him up right along. Because, you know, sir, he's got the IQ of a rabbit.
Yes, but he's got the faith of a child. Simple. Joseph, send for Clarence.
You sent for me, sir?
Yes, Clarence. A man down on Earth needs our help.
Splendid. Is he sick?
No, worse. He's discouraged. At exactly 10:45 p.m. Earth time, that man will be thinking seriously of throwing away God's greatest gift.
Oh, dear, dear, his life. Then I've only an hour to dress. What are they wearing now?
You will spend that hour getting acquainted with George Bailey.
Sir, if I should accomplish this mission, might I perhaps win my wings? I've been waiting for over 200 years now, sir, and people are beginning to talk.
What's that book you've got there?
Oh, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer.
Clarence, you do a good job with George Bailey, and you'll get your wings.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Poor George. Sit down.
Sit down? What do we...
If you're going to help a man, you want to know something about him, don't you?
Well, naturally, of course.
Well, keep your eyes open. See the town?
Where? I don't see a thing.
Oh, I forgot. You haven't got your wings yet. Now, look, I'll help you out. Concentrate. Begin to see something?
Why, yes. This is amazing.
That's good, Ron.
If you ever get your wings, you'll see all by yourself.
Oh, wonderful.
I know. You'd probably rather keep watching that, but that's just to kind of set the idea of what the message is this morning. I hope you understood why I showed that. You see, Clarence almost missed the message. He didn't have his wings, so he couldn't understand what God the Father was trying to tell him and show him, so he had to hold his hand and let him see, reveal it to him. And that's very much what happened back in the beginning. In Isaiah chapter 9, it said, "The people will walk in darkness, and they will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation, you shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as with gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." And down a little bit, verse 6, a verse we know very well, says, "For unto us a child is born, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of this peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." You see, what happened is God sent Jesus Christ to come and to communicate this message to us, and we nearly missed it. On his arrival, we nearly missed it. If you and I had been born, we can't look back and blame everybody else who were walking the earth 2,000 years ago. If we had been there, we wouldn't have been really looking for Christ either. We would have missed the message. So there's 3 points we want to look at about this wonderful message this morning. And you probably already have some of them filled out. But number one is God spoke, but we didn't hear. God spoke, but we didn't hear. See, God has given us this message from the beginning of the world, from creation. He wanted us to know Him. He wanted us to love Him. He wanted us to obey Him. He wanted us to worship Him. God revealed Himself in creation. We see the sun, the moon, the stars. We see the vastness of the universe. We see Him, His majesty in the mountains and the beauty of the oceans and the beauty of a sunrise in the morning. And I want you to think how God spoke to different people. How God spoke and people did, some of them listened, but how He spoke throughout the Old Testament. I just wrote down a few. God spoke to Moses in a burning bush because He might not have gotten His attention any other way. He spoke to Joseph in a wrestling match. He spoke to Elijah with a small, still, quiet voice. He spoke to Isaiah in the vision in the temple. Where did He speak to Jonah from? In the belly of a fish. He spoke to Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah through the potter's clay. He used that to speak to this young man. Balaam was a man who was riding a donkey. And what happened? The donkey spoke to him. And God used a donkey to speak to this man. He spoke to Paul while he was in prison. He spoke to John, who wrote the Gospel of John, the book of Revelation, when he was in exile on an island. God chose some unique ways to communicate with mankind, but too often, we nearly missed the message. We weren't listening. We weren't hearing the message. In fact, Isaiah wrote, in Isaiah chapter 9 was what I read first. In chapter 53, he starts off with this, and I want you to catch his passion here, catch his heart. 44 chapters later, I'm not sure if it was weeks or months after he wrote about Jesus, you know, the child we've born to us, he asks this question to start off this section in chapter 53. He says, "Who has believed our message?" Moms, dads, you ever ask that? Are you guys listening to me? Aren't you getting it? Is anybody paying attention? We never say that to our spouses, do we? My wife never has never had to ask me that. Are you paying attention to me? But Isaiah is saying, who has believed our message? Is anybody getting it? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For He grew up before Him like a tender shoot and like a root and out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon Him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to Him. He was despised and forsaken of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hid their face, He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. Isaiah is just wondering, I've given this message, does anybody get it? I've talked about this Messiah coming. I've talked about Him being born. I've talked about Him being called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty Father. I've talked about Him having the government on His shoulders. And a period later, He goes, is anybody getting it? Who has believed our report? Isaiah wrote about 750 years before Jesus was born. There was another few hundred years before the end of the Old Testament. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. And from when Malachi finished his prophecy to when Jesus was born, it was 400 years. 400 years of complete silence where God did not speak. God did not speak through prophets. God did not speak to the people personally. And when John the Baptist comes along declaring about this one who was going to bring salvation, this one who has come from heaven, the one who was the Lamb of God, he was going to bring salvation, the people nearly missed it. The people did not listen. See, John was coming. He was giving fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. The Old Testament prophecies gave a lot of light to who Jesus was going to be, but they didn't come out and say it. They didn't give His name. So they gave some details of it, a lot of small revelations. And John was here pointing, here's the one. This is the one right here. And very few people listened to it. You see, God had been speaking from the beginning of time, from the beginning of Genesis, the whole gospel is given in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when it says the angel was going to bruise his heel, or the Satan was going to bruise his heel, the serpent would, but Jesus was going to crush his head. In other words, the gospel was presented right there. The cross was talked about back in Genesis. There were false prophets along the way who kind of muddied the water for the people. But when the gospel was clearly presented, the people did not hear it. They chose not to listen. So God spoke, but we didn't hear. God spoke through Christ. This is our second point. After this 400 years of silence, after Malachi wrote and nothing had been said in the meantime, Jesus comes. He's personally coming to reveal the message from God. God revealed himself through his Son, and he came directly to mankind in human form. He didn't come as a donkey speaking to Balaam. He wasn't a still, quiet voice like he was to Elijah. It wasn't in a burning bush like it was to Moses. This was in human form where men could actually reach out and see him and touch him and could hold on to him. You see, up to this point, they had had the portions of the written word of God. Obviously, the New Testament from Matthew through Revelation hadn't been completed yet, but they had the Old Testament in their hands. But the written word of God now came to become the living word of God. That's what the name given to Jesus was. Emmanuel meant God with us. And I want you to read this verse in Hebrews chapter 1. It said, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets in many portions, listen to this, and in many ways, going back to talking about a burning bush, talking about the ways that we've already mentioned in other ways. He said, God spoke in many portions and in many ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also had made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. He wasn't just part God. He wasn't just a portion of God. He was the exact representation of God. He was totally God. And he upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made him purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Again, here we're told that God spoke to us in the past in many creative ways. That's what that is saying. Many portions and in many ways. See, John said, the word became flesh and he dwelt among us. So if you want to see what God's like, if you want to know who God is, you've got to know the Son. You've got to understand who Jesus is. If you want to hear God's message, listen to what Jesus taught. If you want to see the kind of personality that God would have, the kind of love that he has for us, look at the love of Jesus. If you want to understand God, understand Jesus. What a wonderful message this is. What a wonderful message Jesus was. But we chose not to listen. Instead, we crucified him. And that brings us to point number three. God spoke to change lives. He spoke, but we didn't hear. We weren't listening. He spoke through Christ, and we crucified him. But God spoke to change lives. You see, this wonderful message, or the wonder of this message, is that it's still able to change lives today. 2,000 years after Christ died. It's amazing. The living word revealed the written word, and the written word revealed God. But it also includes power to change us and to meet us right where we are today. Christmas time really is a celebration of the greatest message in the world, the wonderful message of Christmas. And again, you know I love the season. I love this time of the year. But I love the fact that it is God with us. Anybody ever hear Max Lucado's stories on Family Life Ministries? He has a whole Christmas series called God Came Near. And Max Lucado, as you know, is one of my favorite authors, one of my favorite speakers. But his whole point of that series is that God came near to us. He left heaven. He left the splendor and presence of his Father to come and to take up residence here on earth. And he came so that we could come near to him. He could draw us close to himself. That was the reason Jesus came. And we're told that in 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." And it says, "Who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given," again, "at the proper time." We mentioned that verse last week when we looked at the wonderful moment, the proper time throughout history when God did exactly what he wanted to do at exactly the right time. See, God's present to us today is that he sent his Son at just the right time, in just the right means, to take hold of us and to pay the penalty of sin. Why did he do that at that time? Next week we're going to look at the wonderful method, and we'll give some ideas of how we would have changed the method that God chose to use if it had been up to us. But why did he do that after centuries of people not listening? It had been, I don't know, 2,000, 2,500 years from when he created the world to when Jesus came. And from Genesis 1 all the way through the end of Malachi, the message was given. How come God decided to do anything? Why didn't he just give up? Was he caught by surprise? Was this something kind of just random thought when God and the Trinity got together and said, "Man, they haven't listened to anything yet to this point. I'm running out of ideas here." Maybe the three of them got together and the Holy Spirit said, "Well, let's try this." And Jesus said, "Well, let's try this." And God said, "Well, I don't know. Nothing else has worked up to this point. Maybe if we send Jesus down, that'll work." No, this was planned from the beginning of the world, before eternity even came a place. God wanted us to know how much he loved us. So he sent his Son to be born in a manger, to live a perfect life, to love for, to die, to give that perfect life for us. Hebrews chapter 4 says this: "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from all his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him whom we had to have to do. Therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession." And what the writer of Hebrews, and again, I believe it's Paul, is saying here, he says, we have this great high priest, and he passed from up there to down here to change our lives. God wants to change us. God wants to change you. And I ask this question here this morning, as we wrap up. In the past year, a lot of us have heard different messages. Different people I've talked to have heard some different messages. I just, again, just wrote some down. Friends who were told they were pregnant. Friends who were told they were had cancer. Just talked to a friend. I wasn't aware of this until just Friday or Thursday that she came in and told me that she said, "Were you aware of what I went through this year?" And I wasn't, and just tremendous, tremendous physical, three or four surgeries she's had. She's still facing a couple more, and I know her fairly well, but I didn't even know any of that. It was certainly a life-altering decision she made. Some people have heard the words, "Yes, you're hired." Others have heard the word, "You're fired. We don't have a place for you anymore." Young people, if they're taking a test or if they've taken their driver's test, they love to hear, "You passed. You're successful." Unfortunately, some have heard the spouse say, "I don't love you anymore," or "I'm leaving." Military families, I don't know what the message is anymore, but I remember having friends years ago whose children had died in Vietnam, and they received a letter saying something like this: "A grateful nation regrets to inform you of the death of..." People still get those types of messages today. And these messages can certainly change lives. But in all these, there's still a message that that the world needs to hear that they're not hearing. The message is there, and it's not God's fault. It's not necessarily our fault. Perhaps we are sharing it, but we need to do a better job as Christians sharing with those around us. But there's still a message that is waiting for the majority of people to hear, and that simply is this, that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And I always tell people, put your own name in that. God so loved Ron, or God so loved Sue, or God so loved Cheryl, or God so loved, put your own name in it, that he gave his only son to die for you, that if you would believe in him, you won't perish, but you have eternal life. In the midst of all these messages, we need to hear this one simple message, that Jesus was born to die for us. That Jesus was born to die for you. I want to ask you this morning, and again, this is a very small group, and I know most of you, but have you heard that message? Not just heard about it, not just listened to it all the Christmases you've been around, but have you really heard the message? Do you know Jesus in a personal way? Have you ever trusted him for eternal life? Have you ever said, I am in need of a Savior? Or are you like those players from Rochester who are just kind of continuing on in the game of life, running around until something signals for you to stop and slow down for a minute? Well, I want to be, as the pastor this morning who's up front, I want to be the one who raises my hand and kneels down for you to understand the message is for you. There's something going on that Jesus died for you. The choice is yours. If you've never yet trusted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, make today the day. Make this Christmas season being the best. Say, I have heard the message. I've heard it before, but today I've heard it, and I'm going to apply it to my life. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. And again, I think we know each other pretty well here, so I still want to make this offer to you and make you understand your choice. And please, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, don't say, what's Pastor Ryan going to think of me? He's known me all this time, and I've never trusted Christ. Man, I would be thrilled if someone who I thought was a Christian was honest and says, I never made that decision before. But just say something to God like this quietly. You're talking to him, not to me, or not to your spouse or anyone near you, but just say, God, I've heard that message today. I've finally heard it with my ears, and I want to make a difference as I apply it to my heart. Lord, thank you for coming to die on the cross for me. Thank you for being born and living that perfect sinless life, but thank you for dying for me. And today I heard the messages for me personally. And I've heard it all before, God, but I've never made that personal decision. Right now I ask you to be my Savior. And then, Lord, I want to make you Lord of my life as well. Not just to save me for eternity, but I want to live for you today and tomorrow. Lord, right now I accept that greatest Christmas gift ever offered, by trusting in your son. No one looking around, but if you prayed that this morning, would you just slip your hand right up and right down and say, Pastor, that's the first time I've prayed it. That's kind of what I assumed would happen. I believe we all do know Christ, but are we taking that message out? Are we his representative to a world that's waiting? And I tell you, there's people out there talking to the kids at the teen center and talking to people who I talk to throughout the week. They have heard about Jesus, but they don't understand who Jesus is. Are you being that representative for Christ? Are people hearing the message of the gospel from you? Lord, I pray that we would be men and women who take the gospel out. Lord, thank you for changing our lives through the message. Lord, help us now to take that message out boldly and to be good stewards of the gift that you've given us in Jesus, and help us to represent him out into a watching and dying world. Lord, I pray for the remainder of our weeks here as we talk about the method next week, but we have the Christmas program, and we'll have people here probably who don't know Jesus as their Savior. Pray that the message of that program would speak their hearts, and you would even prepare people right now for what they'll hear next week. And then Christmas Eve, we know we'll have people again who don't normally go to church, but they'll come out once or twice a year, and they'll come out to hear the message. Lord, I pray that the message would be clear and that you would draw people to yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.